Radio Prague News.
John Mucha, the grandson of the famous Art Nouveau painter Alphonse Mucha, has called on Prague City Hall to return the painter's famous Slav epic cycle to the family. Czech pop singer Karel Gott's malignant tumorous disease has fully disappeared, his spokeswoman Aneta Stolcová announced on Friday. And in football, Czech club Sparta Prague have been drawn against Spanish team Villarreal in the last eight of the Europa League. John Mucha, the grandson of the famous Art Nouveau painter Alphonse Mucha, has called on Prague City Hall to return the painter's famous Slav epic cycle to the family. Before his death in 1939, Alphonse Mucha left his cycle of 23 paintings depicting the history of ancient Slavs to the Czech capital on condition that a tailor-made building was provided for it. John Mucha argues that the donation is not legally binding since Prague has not met this condition. He is also against the plans of the city to display the paintings in Japan and China as part of a travelling exhibition in 2017 and 2018. Officers from the Organised Crime Unit this week apprehended two foreign nationals in Prague and accused them of blackmailing, the spokesman for the unit, Pavel Hanták, said on Friday. According to the officers, the men were part of a gang operating in Prague and Karlovy Vary since 2013. The 53-year-old Russian has lived in the country since 2012, and according to the officers, he was a so-called vor v zákoně, which means that he officially was in charge of the criminal group. The other man is 32-year-old Armenian with long-term residency in the Czech Republic. Both men were taken into custody. If convicted, they face up to 8 years in prison. A Czech barge stranded in the Elbe River in Dresden should be towed away on Monday, local newspaper Dresden Neue Ester Nachrichten reported on Friday. The boat, carrying a cargo of 800 tons of salt, has been stuck under a bridge since late Monday, blocking other traffic. Previous attempts to suck the salt from the barge so that it could be moved have failed due to the moist conditions, which meant the salt clogged in the tubes. The owner of the ship, the European Water Transport Company, has sent in a special excavator and other technology to help unload the barge. A gang stealing vehicle license plates off foreign cars is operating in Prague, a German news service Südwest Press reported on Friday. The website describes the experience of a tourist from Dresden who said the thieves have left a note on his car demanding 500 euros in return for the stolen plate. He also had to get his car towed away to his hometown because driving without a license plate is illegal both in the Czech Republic and Germany. According to the website, citing official police figures, there were about 30 cases of such thefts reported to the police on one day alone recently. Czech police spokesman Tomáš Hulan has denied the information. Czech pop singer Karel Gott's malignant tumorous disease has fully disappeared, his spokeswoman Aneta Stolcová announced on Friday, referring to the results of the most recent medical checkup. Doctors treated the singer since last November when he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. He underwent his last chemotherapy at the end of February. At 76, Karel Gott still remains one of the most well-known figures in Czech show business. And in football, Czech club Sparta Prague have been drawn against Spanish team Villarreal in the last eight of the Europa League. The first leg will be held in Spain on the 7th of April with the return in Prague a week later. Sparta qualified for the quarterfinals after a magnificent 3-0 away win against Lazio Rome on Thursday night. That translated into a 4 win on aggregate. I'm Ruth Frankova and that's the end of the news. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, the so-called Stork's Nest scandal around ANO leader Andrej Babiš escalates, and Sparta Prague's Europa League dream continues. Later on in the program, we visit an arcade games museum outside Prague. All that coming up, so please stay with us. A scandal over the suspect misuse of 50 million crowns in EU funding of the Stork's Nest Farm and Conference Centre, owned by Finance Minister Andrei Babiš, is continuing to simmer ahead of a special session of the lower house. The finance minister maintains that the application for European funds was put forward by the building's former owner, but is being called on to explain more next week. Coalition partners, the Social Democrats, are also holding a special meeting on Friday to discuss the matter. Jan Wellinger has the details.
A special session of the lower house next week, in which Finance Minister Andrei Babiš has been called upon to provide answers over the Storknest affair, apparently can't come soon enough. The opposition parties, the Civic Democrats Top 09 and Dawn, have already fired a shot across the bows, warning if the minister fails to explain the matter to satisfaction, they will push for a vote of no confidence on the current government. Civic Democrat leader Petr Fiala.
To je tak závažná věc, že to ta kritéria splňuje.
This is such a serious matter that it fulfills the criteria for a no-confidence vote.
According to the Czech news site neolivnje.cz, the Stork's Nest Farm and Conference Centre was owned by Mr. Babiš's agrochemical giant Agrofert until the year 2008. Then its shares were transferred to bearer shares in order to be able to claim EU subsidies of around 50 million crowns. But afterwards, the property was returned to the company. Now the manner of its funding is being investigated by the European Anti-Fraud Office, and some see the affair representing the first real cracks in the current government. The junior Christian Democrats' backing of the special session next Wednesday drew the finance minister's ire, and he hit back, suggesting their stance was part of an early election campaign. He also slammed the opposition, telling Czech TV the parties were spinning a fairy tale about trying to defeat the government.
This is folklore by the Civic Democrats and Top 09. If they manage to call a vote of no confidence, we'll vote.
And if the finance minister there doesn't sound particularly worried, it's because the opposition lined up against him doesn't have nearly enough clout to bring the government down. Only 49 votes when they would need a minimum of 101. And even if the vote is not called, the opposition will nevertheless hope to pressure Mr. Babiš on the matter significantly in next week's session. As for the coalition, most observers agree until now it has had considerably smoother sailing than previous governments. But deeper fault lines could appear, not least if Stork's Nest is not properly explained. Also, it's lost on no one that regional and Senate elections are slated for this autumn and the general election for next year. Even Mr. Babiš has suggested the latter could be pushed up by several months if members of the current coalition no longer get along.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Sparta Prague created the upset of the night in football's Europa League on Thursday night when they routed and humbled Lazio Rome 3-0 away. They are now rubbing shoulders with some major clubs in the last eight of the competition and face a tricky trip to Spain. Chris Johnston reports.
Centruje na zadní tyč Friedek. No a to je gól! Gól, gól, gól! Je to tak! Lukáš Julič dá parádní gól!
A fairy tale first half for Sparta Prague in the Eternal City on Thursday night, with Lukáš Julič adding a third goal without reply in Lazio Rome's Olympic Stadium. Earlier, a superb strike from Borek Dochkal had given the visitors the early lead with an all-important away goal in the 10th minute. And the ever-lively and lithe Ladislav Krejci added a second 2 minutes later with a place shot in the corner, and Lazio were already looking shell-shocked. Lukáš Julič's somewhat opportunistic connection from close range in the 44th minute was the death knell for any realistic prospects of a Lazio comeback. Julič was on for first-choice Sparta striker David Lafata, who had netted five times in Europa League's outings so far. He's still not fit after a long-running injury. And in spite of sustained pressure, the Czech side kept a clean sheet until the final whistle and are through to the last eight of the Europa League. Perhaps Lazio should have taken note that Sparta appear even more potent away than at home. They already put three without reply past Russia's Krasnodar in the previous leg. Sparta coach Zdeněk Šťastný described the win as the best result of his managing career so far. Sparta, so far undefeated in the Europa League after going through the playoff rounds, will now face Villarreal, one of the three Spanish clubs in Friday's draw. The first leg will be played in Spain on April 7th, with the return a week later. The clubs have previously not faced each other. Sparta also have little recent pedigree at such advanced stages of European competitions. They reached the quarterfinals last time round in the 1983-1984 season, losing to Croatian team Hajduk Split in the then UEFA Cup Winners' Cup. Further back in history, in 1973, Sparta reached the semi-finals of the same competition, finally going down to AC Milan. But Sparta's Roman triumphs will quickly become history for the staff and players. The club is now looking forward to a crunch derby game at home against city rivals Slavia Prague in the top Czech league on Sunday. Sparta are second in the league, but trail leaders Victoria Pilsen by 6 points with a game in hand. Slavia are fifth in the league, but have undergone something of a resurgence recently. Sparta last dropped points at home against their city rivals back in 2008.
Chris Johnston, thanks for that report. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for the arts with Jan Wellinger.
Many of those who grew up in the late 1970s and 80s in the West well remember the golden age of arcade video games. 8-bit and later 16-bit graphics and excellent sound that were the apex of electronic gaming and game design then. Since 2011, anyone in the Czech Republic wishing to experience what it was like can do so easily at the Arcade Museum in Červený Újezd, just outside of Prague. Founded by collector Jan Orna, the museum boasts more than 120 titles, including first-generation classics like Space Invaders, Ms. Pac-Man, or Centipede, as well as later titles, including Rampage or Gauntlet. If Elf Shot the Food means anything to you, you've come to the right place. Jan Orna was 10 or so when he saw his first arcade game in 1980s Czechoslovakia. There were, of course, no arcades in the country under communism, but there were traveling fun fairs, and some had adapted caravans with original machines which had been brought in from West Germany, bought second-hand. When he saw some of those for the first time, says Orna, he was hooked.
I love the flashing lights and the sound. These were full-color games where most people in Czechoslovakia still had black-and-white TVs. Arcade games then were also far better than anything you could play on a computer, and not many had those either. So I told myself I would own one of those machines one day.
According to Orna, officials turned a blind eye to arcade games, not seeing them as any kind of threat. Funfairs in general were part of a grey economy then, and Orna says it is likely bribes were paid for customs to look the other way when the arcade games were brought over the border. The museum founder again.
I never heard that the police would raid a funfair because of arcade games. Someone may have gotten the idea somewhere to let it slide. In Czech, there's a saying, kdo si hraj, nezlobí, suggesting that those who play games don't have time to misbehave. It probably suited the regime. Enough bread and games keeps people from starting revolutions, so to speak.
Keeping the games running was often no easy task, though. When arcade machines broke down, they had to be fixed locally and without proper spare parts. A small community gradually evolved of those who took the game cabinets apart, investigating their electronic innards and learning how the boards and connections worked. If they could, they fixed the problem and reconnected the machines.
Gradually, there were guys who learned more and more about the hardware. They dug around inside and learned how to keep the machines running. By trial and error, they learned how characters in the game took certain actions or events were triggered. It was impossible to get original parts, of course, so they had to improvise. And some came up with very novel solutions. Some, in the end, knew more about those cabinets than licensed technicians abroad. It was thanks to some very skilled people that some of our generation were able to play some of those original titles. Long after the fall of communism in Czechoslovakia, Jan Orna collected old computer games and game consoles and computer systems. Then he began to buy the large arcade games of yesteryear, before they vanished. He began to collect those too.
Když jsem těch automatů měl už něco kolem 40-50, a my jsme hrozně jsem přemýšlel o tom, co vlastně s tím jednou budu dělat, protože samozřejmě to...
I never set out to found this business or museum, but it was a key step. I had accumulated some 40 or 50 of the arcade games, and they were stored everywhere, in the garage and in the study, my friend's place, his garage, and at the wife's parents. The cars were parked on the street, while inside it was impossible to move. It became a question of what to do next. For a while, I considered selling off most of the collection and keeping the 10 rarest games. But then we got the opportunity to use the property in Červený Újezd, which became the museum. Since then, anyone who wants to can come and play, and the business has done well.
To a large degree, investing in arcade games proved to be a more than decent investment. In the past, some games could be bought dirt cheap, but as arcade games' rareness generally increased, it drove up asking prices. As niche hobbies and pop or geek culture became increasingly mainstream, an interest in old-school arcade games also went up. And over the years, the market has seen considerable changes.
When I got interested in acquiring arcade games 12 or 13 years ago, you could still buy a machine from neighbouring Germany for the equivalent of around 10,000 crowns. But things have changed. You couldn't even get the main circuit board from the game for that now. Everything is a lot more expensive, and in Europe, most sources are dried up. You have to buy from America, so demand has gone up. At the same time, there were lots of cases where we got a call and someone was selling an old game, which no longer worked, where the repair was trivial. Sometimes they were totally unaware what they were selling. And sometimes Jan Orna was able to snag some real gems. Some games only went up in price later, titles which had been previously almost completely overlooked. And they went up in price because of related events like film releases or even a tragic demise.
Mnohem častěji se stává, že film, například filmy...
There was one game we have called Michael Jackson Moonwalker, which nobody really ever paid much attention to before. But when Michael Jackson died unexpectedly, the price shot up and has stayed high ever since, between 70,000 and 90,000 crowns. We were pretty lucky. Over the years that we've been doing this, we have put together quite a complete collection from the arcade golden age. In Europe, there is nobody else who will have a working arcade of the first great wave games, and we are missing only a few titles. The most played games in our museum, however, are the 1990s games like Street Fighter. These are games from the Amiga generation, but they like to play the first generation too, Asteroids, Battlezone, even Space Invaders, which are still in black and white.
And one of the very best things about the Arcade Museum, besides bringing all these games together, no need for coins or tokens, so no anxiety there about running out. Visitors can pay by the hour and play as many different games as they like.
And that edition of The Arts, brought to you by Jan Wellinger, was first broadcast in August last year. And that brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.